Well, I thank the Lord for this opportunity to be with you this morning. And I ask for your prayers. I will assure you that each time I stand here, I feel very challenged in my spirit. It's incumbent upon me to try to hear the voice of the Lord and bring to the congregation what I feel He's given me to share. I'm a human being like you are. I'm prone to make mistakes and misjudge things. I desire to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. And I trust that this morning, these little words we have would be a blessing and encouragement. What I have on my mind today is tests. Trials and temptations. How many times have you heard this quotation of Scripture? He promised that He won't put more on us than we're able to bear. That's not exactly what that Scripture says. So I'd like for us to look into that this morning. I'd like to go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. And we'll read, beginning with verse 1 through 13, to get the context of the 13th verse. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all, notice, all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Those Israelites who made the exodus from Egypt, the Apostle Paul is bringing to our attention that all of them were under the cloud. All of them passed through the sea. All of them ate the same spiritual meat. All of them drank the same spiritual drink. So every one of them did the same thing. But, verse 5, with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. All of them did the same things. They all saw the same miracles. They all partook of the same blessings from God. But they did not all succeed. Some of them failed. I think that's a warning to you and me. We all have opportunity to hear. We all have opportunity to read. We all have the opportunity for God to visit us and to speak to us. And before you leave this world, all of us will have had a visit from God to deal with your soul. All of us, every one of us. But not everybody is going to succeed. Okay? Verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You remember the occasion when Moses was gone to Mount Sinai, and he had been gone for a while. The Lord was, there were lightnings and thunderings and terrible scenes that took place on that mount. God was speaking with Moses, giving him the law. And while Moses was up there, the children of Israel, all who had passed through these different places, all that had observed, some of them began to get restless. And they said, "Where's Moses? We don't know where Moses is." So they called upon Aaron to do something. What's happened to him? When's he coming back? We need something to worship. Aaron says, "Break off your earrings and any gold jewelry you have." And he fashioned it, melted it, and fashioned it into a golden calf. And they said, "These are our gods. These are our gods." Do you know, folks, it is possible for you and me to do the same thing? Not literally, but to lose sight of the things that God has done, to lose sight of the blessings we have enjoyed, to lose sight of the miracles, the things that He has done, and then we come through a place where it is somewhat of a dry spell. May I tell you this morning? You will go through dry places in your life. You will do that. That's not the time to get restless and reach out for other gods. But these said, "What do we do? Aaron, of all people, made a golden calf. Moses came down, Joshua, they heard a noise. It's a noise of war in the camp." No, it's not the noise of war. It's the noise of singing, victory. No, it's not that. Something else going on in the camp. And as they got closer, they saw what was going on in the camp. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. When Moses saw what was going on, he took that golden calf, he ground it to powder, strewed it in the water, and made them drink it. "Aaron, what have you done?" "Well, you know these people. They get restless. And I said, 'Bring me your gold.' Threw it in the fire and this calf came out." "Oh, sure." But you know, we can put up the same kind of lame excuses in our own lives for the reasons we do or allow the things that we allow. Just as lame as what Aaron said. Folks, that was about the most lame excuse. The most lame explanation. Moses, I'm sure, said, "Oh, Aaron, tell me another story. You threw the gold in the fire and this molten calf came out. Excuse me, but I'm not that dumb. Somebody fashioned this calf. And somebody told them to worship the calf." All right? "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. You can read that in Numbers 25, 1 through 9. "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents." Oh, they murmured and grumbled and complained against God because we've got, all we've got here is this manna stuff. We remember what we had back there. Now here we are out in this land, forgetting all the deliverance, forgetting the whip on the back, forgetting everything that they had endured in the land of Egypt. All I can remember now is the leeks and the onions and the garlics and all the fine meats that we had. But I forget about all the other things. Grumble, 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 folks. All of them passed through the miracles together. Some of them grumbled and complained. All right? Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. The harms that others endure or should be cautions to us. If you think you stand, it's time to really be careful and not be overconfident and secure, but be on your guard. Because the scripture says in verse 5, with all of them, with these all, with many of them, he was not well pleased. Why? Because they grew restless and they forsook him. Others have fallen, and we may too. Keep that in mind. Others before you and me have walked this path and been successful, and there have been those that have fallen. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. This is taken in the context of temptation. Temptation. Affliction is another category altogether. Physical affliction. This is speaking of temptation. When we say he'll not put more on us than we're able to bear, many times that is a misquotation of this scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now I will grant to you that there are trials and temptations that come, that God allows to come, that can get pretty severe. But remember this, that there is no temptation taken you, but what other people, other human beings, have been subjected to. It's as though we think, the temptation that I am being subjected to, no one has ever had to deal with this before. I beg to differ. There have been billions of people in this world that have lived before you and I ever did. And I doubt seriously, and as the scripture says, there is nothing new under the sun. There have been people who have had to deal with the temptations of humanity, common temptations of humanity, just like these did. The many that God was not well pleased, they had temptation and they succumbed to it. And if we're not careful, folks, when we have temptation, we'll think that no one has ever been through anything like this before. But there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to humanity. But just as sure as there was a way in, there's a way out. Now God has promised that in that temptation, with that temptation that he has allowed to come your way, that it will not be something that will overpower you unless you allow it to. Because he has already performed, made a way of escape before you ever got in the temptation. There was already a way out. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now in James, I'd like to read in James chapter 1. I think, folks, this is a very important little passage to consider. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own want to. These people that the Apostle Paul was speaking of, the Israelites, the Hebrews, after they left, they made their exodus from Egypt, they all were under the cloud. They all saw the cloud between them and Pharaoh's army. They all passed through dry ground on the bottom of the Red Sea. They were all baptized into Moses. In other words, the leadership that Moses gave to them, that Moses brought to them under the direction of God, all of them were included in that. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate the manna. They all drank the water from the rock. But some of them murmured. Some of them lusted. Some of them complained. Some of them lost their focus. Some of them were tempted because of their own want to. It's too hard for me here in this wilderness. I want to go back to Egypt. I had plenty of food. I had a place to sleep. I had shelter. Never mind the whip. Never mind the labor. Never mind all the cruel things that Pharaoh's taskmasters put upon us. But I just want to gripe. Folks, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own want to, his own desire, his own lust, and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Remember that when we're dealing with temptation, when we're dealing with things that come our way that the Lord has allowed to come our way, we're dealing with things that's common to man. When you're dealing with a temptation, when it comes your way, remember that it is something that is common to any human being. Somebody else has been through that place before. It's not more than is able to be borne. It can be borne. God has already made a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, I'd like to talk about affliction for a moment. And I'm thinking more about the severe trials. Folks, every one of us deals with affliction. Every one of us deals with affliction. Have you had an affliction that is more on you than anybody else in this world has ever had? I doubt it. You see, it's common to humanity to have affliction. It's common to humanity to have sickness. We have it because of the curse of death. We deal with affliction, we deal with sickness, we deal with disease. Oh yes, we can get into some severe situations where we're in pain and we struggle. But there's not one human being in this world that has been subjected to a strain of affliction, a strait of affliction, worse than anybody else. It's common to man, again. Common to man. However, there is a place, I do believe, I'd like to speak about for a moment. And we don't talk about it very much. Because the truth is, folks, in our United States of America, we don't know much about it. That's persecution. We know very little about physical persecution because of my belief in Christ. But there are people in this world that do. There are people in this world, and if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you read the history of Christians down through the ages, there have been those who have been subjected to extreme tortures. Those are not common to man. Those are extreme tortures afflicted to man by another man. Those are things that are brought up and contrived in a man's mind. What can I do to this individual to try to cause them to recant their belief in God and Christ? We'll put them on the wheel. We'll tie them to the wheel and we'll start to crank and we'll stretch their limbs and contort their bodies. That's not common to man, folks. That's something that's very different. And God has. I've read accounts where people who were tied to the stake and the fire burned around them, how that God gave them a special measure of grace to be able to endure at that moment that is far beyond these light afflictions that you and I have here in this world today. Far beyond the temptation, oh, my head is hanging down and I am tempted. Oh, my head is hanging down and I'm afflicted. Maybe we are. Maybe we feel bad. But there has nothing like that taken you that such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with that temptation make a way of escape that you can bear it. There's an opening in, there's a way out. There is a special grace that I believe that God gives to individuals who have to face severe persecution for their belief in Christ, that when they are put to extreme, extreme circumstances, far beyond a level of affliction, my throat hurts. Far beyond affliction, I have 105 fever. Far beyond temptation. Far beyond those things where fire is burning around me, and I can say, praise the Lord, even so come, Lord Jesus. Such as Stephen did. Stephen, the first martyr we have record of. While they were throwing the stones at him, piling the stones around him, the stones were landing on his body, on his head, he had a testimony. He looked up and he said, I see heaven opened. And I see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. A special grace in that hour that can only come from God. That wasn't a temptation for him. He didn't have anything to do with that. He was brought to that place. He was forced into that place. And he was being killed. And God gave him a special grace to be able to endure that time. Now that's something again that you and I know almost nothing about. And I pray that we never do. I don't pray for it to come. I don't ask for it to come. But I want us to realize, folks, that when we're dealing with the issues of life, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. When we say he's promised he'll never put more on us than we're able to bear, I think that we have to realize that, folks, God has allowed things to come our way that's common to every man. There's nothing unique about it. There's nothing so powerful about it that we can't, that somebody else can't relate to it. It is things that come from the curse of sin. It's things that come because some of it becomes because of my own thoughts, because of where I have allowed myself to be placed, physically placed in my life. I've made a choice. I made a decision to go to this place, and I think that God's going to protect me while I'm in this place when it's a place where I really shouldn't be in the first place. And I come away from there thinking, oh, what a temptation. Oh, what a temptation. I had such a serious trial and temptation. And part of it's my own doing. Because I made the decision to go there in the first place. I made that choice. Tests, trials, and temptations. As you go through life, you're going to have them. I want us to realize that when we're in those places, folks, we can get on our knees and we can ask God to help me find the way out of the temptation. Because he's already made a way to escape. It's already there. Help me, Lord, to find the way out of this temptation. Help me to find the way out of this trial. Help me to find the way out of this test. Does it mean that sometimes I'm going to have to do some radical measures on myself? Maybe so. I may have to discipline myself. I may have to change my thought processes. I may have to change the patterns of my life where I no longer entertain these ideas and these thoughts. I no longer entertain these entertainments. I no longer entertain these places where I would go for entertainment. I no longer entertain. I no longer consider doing certain things in my life because I realize that those things have brought me trouble. So the best thing for me to do is move away from those things. Too many times we're prone to think that nobody else has ever been in a situation like this. Closing, I'd like to turn to 1 John. 3rd chapter. The second sentence in this verse. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The way of escape. You see, God has already made a way to escape. Through Jesus Christ, he said, for this cause, is Jesus Christ manifested, the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the second sentence. Thank God there was one that came before us to destroy the works of the devil. Thank God, folks, that you and I, when we're in those places, however we got there, we have an advocate that has destroyed the works of the devil. But we have to take advantage of all that he has done for us. And it's incumbent upon you and me to get on our place where we realize what he has done for us and accept the way to escape so we can get out of the test, trial, or temptation. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. God bless each one. You pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.